Loving Liberty Network proudly presents Heroes and Heroines, a weekly broadcast by Lawrence W. Reed, President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. Larry Reed has written nearly 2,000 articles and columns and is the author of 8 books. Most recently, the thought-provoking Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty welcomes you to Heroes and Heroines by Lawrence W. Reed.
William Clifford, a 19th century English mathematician and philosopher, declared, quote, "All our liberties are due to men who, when their conscience has compelled them, have broken the laws of the land," end quote. Did you catch the one glaring error in those words? He forgot the women. If Clifford had known Vivian Kellams, he wouldn't have made that mistake. Born in 1896 in Des Moines, Iowa, Kellams was a locomotive that never quit. Before she died in 1975, she could proudly look back on a life of service to her country as a successful entrepreneur, an accomplished public speaker, a political candidate more interested in educating than in winning, and most famously as a tireless opponent of the Internal Revenue Service and its tax code. Outspoken to the end, nobody ever accused her of hiding her light under a bushel. While earning her BA degree in economics from the University of Oregon in 1918, Vivian Kellams gave her classmates a dose of the spunk that would mark the next half century of her life. She became the first and only female on the college debate team, humbling many men in competition that was widely thought at the time to be for males only. She went on to earn a master's in economics in 1921. Decades later, while in her 70s, she started to work on a PhD at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. The focus of her dissertation was the issue which made her a virtual household name across America, the income tax. The Roaring Twenties were well underway when Vivian Kellams and her brother Edgar invented the Kellams cable grip, used for lifting and supporting heavy electrical cables. With $1,000 she had saved and another $1,000 she borrowed, she founded the Kellams Company in Stonington, Connecticut in 1927 to market and manufacture the device. By the time that World War II broke out, she was a wealthy woman with an intensely loyal following among her hundreds of employees. When the war demanded grips to lift 2,700-pound artillery shells, Kellams innovated and ended up selling 2 million of the resulting product to the armed services. It also introduced her to the seamy side of government, the endless and often needless or duplicative paperwork, the meddlesome bureaucracy, the increasingly complicated and dubious tax code, and even a dangerous naivete about foreign regimes. Most Americans were reluctant to criticize Washington in the early years of World War II. Other more pressing matters occupied us as the Axis powers scored one victory after another. But when Kellams saw waste, bungling, and stupidity in government, she didn't hesitate to speak out and make headlines. She was incensed by the U.S. government's shipping thousands of tons of vital materials to Stalin's Soviet Union at a time when our own war effort demanded them. To a Chicago audience, she prophetically warned, "Mark my words, this temporary ally will soon pose a mortal threat to the United States and the entire free world." And boy, was she right. President Franklin Roosevelt's minions were not amused by Kellams' very public disapproval. Her private correspondence was intercepted by the government, then leaked to 2 newspaper columnists and a congressman friendly to the administration. Nothing in her letters was in any way incriminating, and no action was ever taken against her, but it was plain that the government wanted to embarrass and intimidate her into silence. They underestimated Vivian Kellams big time. As the tax burden soared, so did Kellams' resentment of the confiscatory marginal rates, as high as 90% on personal and corporate income, and the bullying tactics of the revenuers. In speeches around the country, she ripped into FDR for promising lower taxes during his first presidential campaign in 1932, only to deliver relentlessly higher rates ever after. Treasury Secretary and FDR crony Henry Morgenthau hinted at treason charges and proceeded towards legal penalties against Kellams. Fortunately, those threats were sidelined by both the war's end and a scandal that enveloped the Bureau of Internal Revenue, predecessor to the IRS. Thanks in part to Kellams and the women around the country that she personally stirred up, congressional investigations led to the indictment or voluntary retirements of hundreds of federal bureaucrats for violating the very tax laws they were supposed to enforce. Kellams could get fired up about intrusive government at any level. When the state of Connecticut passed a law in 1947 forbidding women to work after 10 p.m., she sprung into action. Her friend, the famous actress Gloria Swanson, describes what happened, quote, "Charging rank discrimination, she brought several hundred women in to work at her factory one night, but no arrests were made. Finally, she got a job in an all-night diner and threatened to work there every night until the legislature acted. 2 days later, the law was repealed," end quote. The year, 1948, is pivotal in the Kellams timeline. Franklin Roosevelt was 3 years gone, and Harry Truman occupied the Oval Office. What started out as a temporary and voluntary wartime measure, tax withholding, was made compulsory. Kellams would have none of it. She was not about to become an unpaid tax collector for the feds without a fight. In February of 1948, Vivian Kellams began paying her employees in full, which meant they had to cough up the required taxes and pay them directly to the federal government. Within days, she was on NBC's newly minted Meet the Press show, only the second woman to appear as a guest on the program. The withholding law, in her view, was unconstitutional. The very rationale for creating it, to make the costs of big government less visible to workers, was, in her mind, yet another reason to get rid of it. People needed to know what their government was costing them. Violating the law was the only way the issue could be settled once and for all. She declared, quote, "If high tax Harry Truman, wants me to get money for him, then he must appoint me an agent for the Internal Revenue Department. He must pay me a salary for my work. He must reimburse me for my expenses incurred in collecting that tax, and I want a badge," end quote. She wrote to the Treasury Secretary to inform him of her decision and added, "I respectfully request that you please indict me." Fearing an unfavorable ruling in the courts, the government dodged and weaved. The indictment never came. Instead, the IRS sent agents to her bank and seized the $6,100 it said was due. Kellams fired back with a lawsuit against the government, and in 1951, a jury ordered the feds to return the money with interest. She continued to press for a decision on constitutionality, and finally, in 1973, the United States Tax Court formally rejected her argument. Meantime, to prevent her company from going bankrupt because of IRS seizures, she had relented. With great reluctance, she began withholding taxes from her employees. The Bridgeport Post paid tribute to Kellams in an editorial. Lamentably, there may be no newspaper editor in Connecticut today with the guts or the wisdom to print something like this. Quote, "When it comes to possessing a spine of pure steel, we wonder if there is any man or woman in Connecticut who can match Miss Kellams. One lone woman against the whole U.S. government. If there are persons, and we know there are, who think she is simply a pugnacious person making a personal fight over the withholding tax, they are doing her a great injustice. Her interest is one of deep conviction and firm principle based on study of history of the Constitution of the United States. She understands the circumstances which gave birth to this country, the firm realization of the founders that the power to tax is the power to destroy, and the steps which they took to prevent this power from being misused," end quote. Vivian Kellams never changed her mind about the income tax, even though she lost that battle. Her personal income tax forms that she filed for each of the last 10 years of her life were all blank. Apparently, not even the IRS wanted to tangle again with this scrappy patriot. Whether you agree or disagree with Vivian Kellams on the issues, you have to give her credit. She had principles, sound ones in my estimation, and the courage to stand for them come hell or high water. For Heroes and Heroines, this is Lawrence Reed.
Join us again next week for Heroes and Heroines by Lawrence W. Reed. Broadcasts are archived at lawrencewreed.com and lovingliberty.net, home of a growing network of allies for liberty.